Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got the witty and wonderful Will Meadows, the savvy and straightforward Sarah.
The cunning yet casual Kevin.
Oh, the magnificent Melissa.
The royal Ryan.
And just Jonah.
I threw everybody off.
He's
fantastic.
Very just.
He's just. Mm-hmm. The just.
Mm-hmm. I had some good ones. The marvelous and magnificent Melissa. Come on, what's a good J one? Jonah?
I was literally ready for W. I was just going
to go.
Keep going.
Keep
I like it. Just keep going. So I don't know.
The joyous Jonah, the
juking you at every move, Jonah.
Jovial.
Oh, okay.
Jovial.
I like it. It's
old Saint Nick over there.
I have to admit, I was a little inspired. I watched the new, have you guys seen the latest psych movie on Peacock? It's free. You can watch it for free.
Is it good?
Is it better than the first movie? Sure. It was entertaining. I definitely enjoyed it. One thing you should know going into the movie, I didn't know this, is that Lasseter apparently had like a huge stroke in real life. I don't think this is a spoiler. It's kind of a spoiler. Spoiler. So in the movie, he's like recovering from a stroke, which I didn't know watching the movie. I was just like, this is weird acting. But apparently he's actually phenomenal acting because he really is a stroke victim. So
wow.
It was a good show. Yeah, check it out. Funny stuff. As always, they pull off the great jokes where he introduces Burton in some terrible way, and it's hilarious. Guster, Gurton, Burton. I know too many people in real life who have this name now. It's super confusing. Anyway, welcome to 2021, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Awesome.
On our podcast. We are making some changes. You probably heard a couple of them in the intro. We've got a couple new sponsors that we should probably start off the episode right by giving a shout out to.
Whoa, what is that?
Sound.
No more chicken.
No chicken
rooster,
noise.
Whatever.
What is that?
Good change.
So much
good
better.
Change. All right, so we have some of the same sponsors that we had last year with Game Steward. They're your second chance at Kickstarters, and I did see that they had the Anachrony Fractures in Time Kickstarter.
The Infinity Box?
Yes.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people online right now talking and showing pictures of that huge box, bigger than the Scythe Legendary Box. I don't know.
Ours came in the mail.
Yes.
Woot! So we also have Boardwalk, our friendly local game store, and they're going to be helping us out with Tantrum Con with our haul, which I'm sure we'll talk about more later in the episode.
H-A-U-L.
Yes. Haul.
I don't think there's any way to say it.
No.
Haul?
It sounds exactly the
sounds
same.
Sounds exactly
way.
The same.
As it
homonyms.
Should.
Homonyms. All right. Bezier is back with us again, and they are going to be having a Kickstarter soon for a collector's edition of Castles of Mad King Ludwig, which I am super excited about.
That looks good.
I have
got a lot of stuff in there.
Worked on. Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
My prediction, I think
Wait, what? It's not time for predictions yet.
Okay, I'll bring the...
Later.
All right,
Kevin.
Later we'll talk about predictions. All right, Melissa.
All right, Game Toppers LLC. They make awesome solutions for tabletop gaming. We have several in our studios and love them. They have awesome game mats.
Yeah.
I love our Tantrum House game mats. Good job, Will.
Yeah, yes. I'm glad it turned out so well. I'm excited.
Yeah, so if you are not able to purchase a whole Game Topper system, you can buy a game mat, and they really help the experience.
And then our new sponsor, is AEG, and they've made some awesome games this past year. We've gotten a chance to look at one of their new games, which is coming to stores soon, which is Cubitos. I know.
Is that how we're pronouncing it now?
It's got to be Cubitos.
Cubitos?
Yeah, got to be.
I actually haven't played it, so.
It's fun.
You're allowed to not pronounce it.
It has hit my table more than any other games recently.
Maybe it's Cubby Toes.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not.
It's a cube.
It's little cubes. Itos is Spanish for like little like whatever cubitos? It is. Yeah, so it's little cubes.
All right, Cubitos.
That's what the name is. It's Cubitos.
Anyway, then you if you haven't seen a playthrough of that, check out TantrumCon because we will be doing a playthrough of Cubitos.
You should definitely check out our TantrumCon stuff. That's on our website, tantrumcon.com. We'll be talking about that more at the end of the episode. One of the things that we are going to be talking about this episode, because we're going to try to move our format just a little bit moving into the new year, is the topic of our 2021 predictions. This episode, that's what we're going to kind of focus on. We're definitely going to talk about some of the games that we've just been playing, and we'll definitely get those Kickstarters in as well. But trying to be a little more topic focused, I think will give us some direction throughout the year. We can kind of be more prepared. Hopefully, you'll be a little more entertained and informed. So stick around. We'll be talking about predictions soon, as Kevin alluded to. Before we get to that, though, what has been on you guys' table? We haven't seen each other a whole lot recently, all the holidays and everything going on. I know we've gotten to play some games. I know you guys all went to places where you probably played games.
Back to the topic thing, though, Will.
Oh, okay. I almost got off.
I know. I was going to say, because we're moving to more a topical episode, we'd love to hear from our listeners what topics you'd like to hear us talk about. So you can email me, Kevin, at tinchermouse.com, K-E-V-I-N, at tinchermouse.com, for some topics that you'd like us to talk about. And I've already started making a list, so hopefully I've already sort of thought about some of those cool topics. So, but the first one is Kickstarter predictions. We'll talk about in a minute. Back to the games we've been playing.
Stay tuned. I have a hot take for Kickstarter predictions. Hot.
And we also should say, stick around to the end of the show because we've picked a new show that we're all watching episodically.
I'm so
we're going to be talking about the Cobra Kai show that's on Netflix right now. So hang around till after the credits if you're interested in our semi-hot take on that.
No, it's going to be a regular take for predictions.
Okay, cool.
So, right, so, and that's season 3, episode 1.
That's where we're starting. That's correct.
Even though you can binge it and Will almost did.
I'm doing good. Holding back. Slowing down.
All right. Anyway, Melissa and I were able to get a few games to the table recently, and one of those was
Azul Summer Pavilion. So, what is that, a 2019 game? It's not even that new, but it was new to us.
I think it came out really late, the end of 2019, because I saw a lot of people playing at TantrumCon last year.
I still have not played it myself. Give us your hot take. I'm just going to overuse that word the entire episode.
Wow.
I have never won Azul, but I have never lost Summer Pavilion. Ooh. And we played like 3 or 4 times. So I obviously like it better.
I really been enjoying Azul Summer Pavilion. I say it's Azul for gamers because you are drafting tiles like you do in Azul, but instead of immediately placing them onto the different rows and columns like you do in regular Azul, you basically are collecting them during the whole round in this little pile of Azul diamond-shaped tiles instead of square tiles. Cool colors like the regular game. They're like the what's the name of that substance that they
use? I don't know. It's plasticky.
It's a plasticky
resiny polished resin or something.
Is it acrylic?
It's like acrylic, but there's a certain name for it. It'll come to me later.
Something light.
Yeah, it's something light.
Oh, Bakelite?
It might be Bakelite. Yeah. Thanks, Sarah. Anyway, so the same Bakelite material. Anyway, you're drafting these, and then at the end of their round, you are then going around in turn order, placing them onto your own star board.
Yeah, one group at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And on the regular side of the board, there are colored stars. So if you picked up the purple tiles, you would most likely be putting them on the purple star. There is a center star where you could place different colors. Mm-hmm. But you get different rewards based on where you place them or if they're touching other things or if you surround a decoration like a pillar or a window, mm-hmm. then you get to pick extra tiles from the middle. So you're trying to combo that to get the extra tiles during your pick so you get more tiles on the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really puzzly. And then at the end of the game, you're scoring if you're able to fill in the different star formations and things like that. So I've really enjoyed playing it. We probably played it like 4 or 5 times and really enjoyed that. So anyway, we were able to play some games over New Year's Eve as well. So I know
I was here on New Year's Eve. I played with you.
Jonah and I.
Yeah. We tag teamed
Rococo. Did you hear the final results of that?
I did not hear the final result. Well, I did hear that Sarah won.
I did win.
This only because I wasn't there.
It's probably true.
Oh, I don't know. Because
she was taking a long time.
She was kind of killing it.
I was distracted, first of all. I had some business stuff to take care of in the middle of playing some games, which is not ideal.
If I can drag this game on long enough, I will be able to just win through the attrition.
Kevin will fall asleep, and I'll be able to take the victory.
It was 1:30 when we ended.
I felt like I was doing really well with the hand that Jonah gave. Mm-hmm. I got, there was an 11-pointer. I was getting decorations, getting some money in. I think it was only a few points that Sarah beat by. Okay. So.
We were trying to convince, I think, Will to hate draft a card so
and
that
he didn't. Otherwise,
Kevin Jonah wouldn't get it.
Yeah, your score would have been, I think, 11 points lower.
Maybe, but I could have gotten points other ways. So
I was trying to help you out, Jonah.
Thank you.
By losing myself.
I had to leave a little early on New Year's because I got the little guys, and they were tired. We made them stay up till we didn't make them. They were actually did great staying up till midnight, but then it was time to go.
Did you enjoy the Rococo part game that you did play?
I did, yeah. It was easier to play and understand than I thought it was going to be. Almost even halfway through rule explanation, I was like, oh, I can play this. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I'll have any issues with not knowing where to look for how to do it or what the symbols mean. I can play this. So it was good, yeah.
I think the downfall that we didn't win is I had a dream about this, and I feel like I put too many, what do you call the different people? The people around the boards.
Apprentices or something? What are they?
No. The actual people that had
the dresses.
The party attendants. I tried to spread out a little bit to try and get some more area majority, and I think that's what did us in, because I was thinking I was in four different spots. And if I went down to three, I think I could have won a couple more.
Mm. You definitely stole some from me, so it was kind of working for you. I don't know. I thought I was doing great going into the final round. I had majority on, I don't even know, four different areas. And then all of a sudden, last turn, two go to Kevin, one goes to Melissa. This is not going to end
well. A lot of area majority went really fast at that last round because people are like, oh, I'm going to sort of snag that.
Yeah,
I didn't actually win very many of the majorities. I got second place.
Which really helps.
All of them. And then I just had other bonus points. Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of points during the game. So you had some cards that were giving you points when you were playing. So you had a good 10 more points than everyone before we got to scoring.
At the end of the game, you had 0 points.
That is, I didn't get any during
the
game.
But right. Sarah already had 20.
Oh, that is a lot.
Before the end of the game.
That is a lot.
So I was like, oh.
Because we were already in the third round when you finally got two. And I was like, she got points. How did she get points?
Yeah, she started comboing her cards that last time. That's what happened.
Yep.
Anyway.
It was interesting. And we were definitely playing with the new reprint. I don't know if we said that. So all the components in it are super nice. You've got this lace. I don't know what that thing is made out of. Is that what you were saying was... No, the lace was
I think the lace was
plasticky,
plastic.
Glass, something. I don't know what it was. It wasn't wood.
The spool was wooden, I think.
Okay. The spool, yeah. Yeah, so really nice components, really big box, beautiful artwork, really good-looking game, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
The other big game that you all played was Tikanu.
I knew it was one of those.
Finally got that one to the table.
The obelisk of the sun.
I could have remembered that part. It does have a cool giant. It's giant. It's I don't even know. 12 inches, 13 inches? How big is it?
Eight inches.
It sticks off the table.
It's
way
eight
off.
Tall.
Big plastic obelisk that actually casts a shadow on the game board, figuratively, literally, and componentially.
Sure.
He was going to say spiritually.
Maybe. And it's a rondel type game where you get the dice are assigned based on where the shadow is cast from the obelisk, which is pretty interesting, a pretty interesting way to assign resources. Lots of different places on the board where you can take the dice that you have taken from the obelisk and place on the board, dice worker placement, and solid, really solid. Very much enjoyed the experience.
I think I would call it more dice action selection because you're just taking the die and you're using the action from the place where you took it.
I can agree with that.
We also played Whistle Mountain.
Oh, yes. So, this is your first time Whistle Mountain, right?
It was. I played it.
We hyped it up a lot.
Yeah, I've played it since then.
Okay.
So listen to this. So when we played on New Year's Eve, I did not do very well, but it was my first time and I was learning, so that's understandable, right? So
you, my strategy and you're like, listen.
I did, but I played it. So I played it one more time. So listen to this. The, like, what do you call it? The, like, special ability that mm-hmm. every player gets to start mm-hmm. the game. Mm-hmm. So what I got was, I picked last, but I got the ability to activate machines twice. And then the first, like, token I bought, like kind of gear symbol that slides into your moon, mm-hmm. upgrade was that you get a point every time you activate a machine.
Oh, yeah.
And it was over. I finished with 189 points.
That's pretty good.
Something. It was crazy. Yeah.
I think I only had like 150 or 60 when we played.
A lot of points.
How many people did you drown? That's what we really want to know.
I drowned at least 4 or 5 people. I even trapped one of my own people purpose because I trapped like 5 people. And I was like,
oh, you got the trap machine?
Yeah, I was like, I'll trap one of mine to get 4 other people
That's
trapped.
That's awesome.
I was in my zone for sure.
No mercy.
Yeah, it was fun.
Way to go. Sarah and I had an opportunity to try one of the other exit games. Mm-hmm. Did you guys already play the Cemetery of the Night?
We did.
Have we talked about it on the podcast?
Nope.
So this one is
we did the Enchanter's Forest one.
We did, yes. This is a level 3 escape room in a box game and features the same circle puzzle combination that all the other exit games do. We did okay.
Because you're like finding different like knights throughout the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're finding, you've got a story that you're following along with.
We found it all wonderful, though. It was kind of a disaster.
we played with some other friends and they, I don't think I've ever done an escape room game.
Yeah.
So we're introducing them to everything. And then like, I don't know if this happens to Melissa or not. I've never been in this position. I felt extra pressure to like know how to solve the puzzle because I'm
or
like,
even
oh,
know what
we
the
can,
puzzle is.
I'm sure like, we
there
can figure
are times
this out.
Where you have a card with a picture on it and you're like, what are you supposed to do with this? Mm-hmm. Like,
don't spoil it. I want to play it. I need
to
level
the
one
question is most of these exit
ones.
Games that you guys are playing is the second time. And right. usually you can't play an exit game twice because you actually like rip up stuff. Were you guys actually able to play it?
Sometimes it helped us because sometimes I was like, well, obviously we're supposed to fold this thing somehow. Sometimes I will admit that
there were a few things where it was like, you have to cut this card up and it has lines to cut it. So, you know, you're cutting it. So you already did that for us.
Sure.
I want to ask you guys if you figured out this puzzle. Because I think it's obvious generally what you're supposed to do. It gives you this little riddle and it's like, with your forefinger and thumb, figure out the answer. So obviously you're supposed to pinch something. No, it was not obvious. Did you?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. There was at least one in that one that we looked at a bunch of clues.
Oh, that one?
Yeah, I literally pinched like 1,000 things.
I think
I could not figure it out.
I think I did look at the clue on that one.
Yeah, I was like goodness, what? No way would I have ever figured that out. So go ahead and just cheat when you get to that one.
Yeah.
It'll save you a headache. And and when it works, you're like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. Would never have figured out how to do it without reading
the... I felt the Cemetery of the Night was like a level 3 throughout the whole game, and it was a good level 3 game, whereas the Enchanter's Forest was a level 2 for most of the game until the last puzzle.
10. Yeah, this one was definitely a solid one. There was some cool things on it that I probably gave up on a little too soon because there were some things, and it's hard to say these things without spoiling stuff, where I was like, oh, yes, this is great. If I hadn't cheated, I wouldn't have figured this out for another half hour. But since I did, this is a cool little puzzle to
walk
through. We
also didn't start this till midnight.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah.
So we started at midnight.
Exit
so it was
games,
like 1:30.
You
want to
be in like prime time of brain thinkiness.
Yes. Extra cup of coffee first at an early hour and kill it. But it was interesting. Definitely worth checking out the Cemetery of the Night.
Cool. Ryan, did you get to play any games?
Yeah, I actually got to play a lot of games over the holidays. One that really stood out that I did not think was going to be as big of a hit was the Planet Unknown prototype that we have. That was asked to bring.
It's because everyone saw your video and Katie's video.
No, it's my family. They don't watch it.
Oh, man. But do you know? Maybe they did watch it.
Maybe. I doubt it.
The young people.
But it came back a lot. And let me think. There was another one I wanted to mention. Can't think of what it was. But
Zombicide,
stealth, dark horse, whatever term I'm looking for. My my sister-in-law brought this game to the table, and this was like the big hit. And I was like, what? You're not even a game person. And it's because I wasn't catering to the crowd. It's basically apples to apples, but it's like insulting to rednecks. It's called Relative Insanity. And the cards are like, you know, what did your uncle say to your father about his new son-in-law? And then you play a card that's like, he may not be good looking, but he sure is stupid. Or something like that. Or like, what did grandma say when she went and talked to the table of ladies at the church? And it'd be, you'd play a card like, I had that dress back when it was still in style, or something like that. So it was very mean. Some of them were like really crass. And then the family there, I don't know all these folks as well, because it's Katie's family, and they were taking out the, you know, your uncle says, and putting in, you know, your uncle Jamie says, like, oh, specific people.
Ooh,
that are,
wow,
at the table.
Ooh,
and
no,
that seems her harsh.
Her uncle Jamie's brand new wife was referenced several times.
Oh,
I was like,
no,
I'm just gonna sit this one out because this is so dangerous. I think they were wise enough to play pretty nice to her. I think like the worst joke was maybe she had gas or something. But yeah, it was interesting. But it's just basically apples to apples. But that is the kind of game that I need to bring, apparently. So now I know.
Wow. Well, if we're done with this, do we want to jump into our Kickstarter conniption?
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode will be talking about three games coming to Kickstarter the week of January 11th, 2021. Kevin, go ahead.
January 11th, we actually have Alley Cat Games launching Tinner's Trail. This is a re-implementation or a revitalization of the older Tinner's Trail from 2008, a Martin Wallace design. And in the game, you are, the setting is 19th century Cornwall, England, and you are part of like a mining company, and you are mining tin and copper and extracting it from the earth. So there's like different types of ore, and the game is played over a series of rounds, but in the game you are spending what's called work points. So you start with 10 at the beginning of every round, and it's really up to you how you're going to spend these basically actions during the game that you have the ability to do during the game. Some actions cost more work points than others. So one might cost 3, some might cost 2, and some might cost 1. Whoever's later in turn order basically gets to go. So if you might be able to go a couple times before you are in front of others. So there's a little bit of worker manipulation or things like that, how you work your turn and things during the round. This new standalone game, Tinner's Trail, is a little different than the older game in a couple ways. It has more players that can play the game. So the original game is 3 to 4 players. This one is 1 to 5 players. And now instead of rolling the die to see how the resources are sort of spawning on the board, there's these tiles that are placed randomly at the beginning of the game, and they're sort of flipped over throughout the game that already have the resources on them. And there's dual use cards, and there's some expansions in the deluxe game as well that you can check out from Alley Cat Games. And the expansions are the Arsenic expansion and the Emigration expansion. And if you want to check out a video, Melissa and I did a video of this new Tinner's Trail prototype. You can check that out on our channel. The game plays in about an hour to an hour and a half. And if you like worker placement type games, like Power Grid or...
It's not worker placement.
But if you like those types of games, is what I'm saying, you probably would like this game, Power Grid, things like that. I think you'd like...
Yeah, there's an auction aspect mm-hmm. in the game.
Yeah, there is an auction. Yeah. So, yeah, check out Tinner's Trail from Alley Cat Games coming this week. Melissa, what do you have?
Well, the game I'm talking about is actually already on Kickstarter. It came last week, and this is Darwin's Journey from Thundergriff Games, and it is designed by the same designers who did Newton, and that is a Euro game that I really enjoy. This one is for 1 to 4 players, and it plays in about 1 to 2 hours. I would say that this is a little bit heavier than Newton. There's a little bit more going on with the game. Basically, you are kind of going through Darwin's memories of his journey to the Galapagos Islands, and this one is a worker placement game, but your workers have different seals that you can assign to them, and based on the types of seals they can only go to certain types of spaces. Mm-hmm. There are some spaces that there are no requirements, so anyone can go to, but other ones, oh, I need a green seal to use this space. This worker doesn't have a green seal, so I can't take that action. So
there are wild seals, though.
Yes, there are also wild seals, but you have to build up your workers to be able to go to certain spaces. There's actions that let you move explorers on the different islands, collecting bonuses, researching different specimen. There's a boat track that you can move to also get rewards. You're trying to deliver specimen to the museum to get points and money. It's a very tight game with the amount of money because sometimes you have to pay money to take an action because someone's already there.
It truly stinks.
Yes, when you're like, oh, I just need one more coin to do that. So there's a lot going on. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it
there
as
was
well.
A lot to think about, but it was very tight of, oh, I wish I could do more. And some of that might have been the learning game of just how everything works together.
A little bit, but there's definitely a lot. If you've played Newton, which has quite a bit going on, but it's the ease of playing the game, I think, is a little bit easier, just how the cards work in Newton. Whereas in this game, it's like, ooh, what do I need to do in order to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish in the game? It's a little bit harder to figure that out, I think, in Darwin's Journey.
But. Right, and probably a little more interactive because of the worker placement aspect. There are some places where multiple people can go. It just costs more if other people are already there. So if you weren't planning on that, mm-hmm. it can really kind of mess up your turn going, oh, now I can't go there because I don't have enough money. I have to figure out how to get money to then be able to take that action.
But the seals are cool because you can get more seals during the game for your different workers. So
yeah, and there's lots of comboing that can go on. So that was nice. Like, oh, I finished this, which allows me to do this, which allows me to do this. Oh, wow, I just did a ton on that one turn. Mm-hmm. So that feels good when you can get those combos in place. But this is Darwin's Journey from Thundergriff Games, and it is on Kickstarter now. And Kevin and I have a video, so you can watch our thoughts on that. Jonah.
Coming to Kickstarter on January 5th is Masters of Mutanite, and that is coming from Knapsack Games. This game, as far as art, it's kind of comic booky, comic strip. Type of art, and in the game you're playing as a mutant and you're trying to basically go to war to collect as much of this mysterious mutanite kind of gem or power as you can. In the game, it's a deck builder, actually, but the deck builder is a little bit territorial. It's so there's just a tad bit of area control because you can only collect cards from certain areas where you are on the board. And the whole purpose of the game is to be the last person standing, and you're using the cards, using your character abilities to basically attack the other mutants on the board and kind of try to get rid of them so you can collect more mutanite and win the game. It's got some cool things in the game, at least that I thought were cool, for it to be comic strippy, that you can throw cars and ice cream trucks at people, and you can you can flood your opponent's zone and then fling them into a power pole to electrocute them. And I thought that was legit.
I saw that comic book. I read that one.
Yep, for a game. So this game is headed to Kickstarter on January 5th. It's for 2 to 4 players.
It's already live then.
Oh, it is already live. I'm sorry. In real time.
Time travel.
It's not there yet. But in podcast time, it is live right now. If you're interested in it, you should check it out. We also have a video on our channel showing you some of the components of the game and talking about it a little in depth. So if you're interested in checking that out before you back the game, go ahead and do so. And we have one special addition to our Kickstarter.
One more bonus game is Mint Bid from Paquetto. This went live on January 6th, so you can already head over to the page and check it out. This is another one of their Mint Tin games, all compiled down to a large game compiled into a small box. And this one, you are bidding, and it has a couple different mechanisms for bidding. It's kind of a mashup of any type of game with auctioning and bidding, but then also it has tiles that you place between the people on either side of you, like between two cities. So it's got an interesting mechanism where you can kind of partner up with each person on either side of you to try and win.
I will say that makes it a whole lot more interesting over normal bidding games, because you can kind of tell, you know, oh, I know he's almost out of money, he's not going to be able to bid. But in this one, you're like, hey, person on my left, you want to team up? We can get some extra points. Oh, you're out? Forget it. Person on my right, hey, let's get some points. So there's a lot of negotiation that happens in this one, in addition to it being a bidding game where you are, you know, trying to do the math, count the numbers, see how much you can afford, and convince, you know, your teammate to join you. It was interesting. You can definitely check that one out on Kickstarter right now. Speaking of time traveling and podcast time, why don't we transition in and talk about some of our 2021 board game predictions? I think Kevin may have traveled back in time.
I did.
I think we made some predictions last year. I have no idea if any of those came true. Where should we start?
I think we have about like 9 or 10 predictions. Some of you may remember some of them. Some of you may not. Will, do you remember any of your predictions?
I think I probably generically made the prediction that like Asmodee would probably buy someone out, and
right. So that did come up in the conversation, but you specifically said that
I named a company.
You did.
Oh, I don't remember.
Asmodee would gobble up CMON.
Oh, did I? Did they?
No.
Shucks.
No, but they are partnering with distribution,
right? Which
so
we already
one
knew.
One step in that direction.
But which we already knew last.
Half point. Ding.
Well, that was already known when we were making the prediction.
Ah, fuck.
The other prediction I made was that the highest funded Kickstarter of 2020 would either be Frosthaven or Seventh Citadel. Board game Kickstarter, but probably Kickstarter. Since right. They're so popular, but So my guess was that Seventh Citadel would be bigger than Frosthaven, but Frosthaven was the biggest.
The biggest.
And I think it might be the biggest of all time board game, Frosthaven, at $12.9 million. And I said that it wouldn't even reach $7
million. Wow.
So, I mean, it's almost double that.
Crazy. Yeah.
You were wrong.
I was kind of right, but wrong at the same time.
And who would have predicted that GameFound would be doing so well?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting to me. They've created their own, started off as a backer rewards platform. Well, I think the plan always was to become a Kickstarter competitor.
Because it's Awakened Realms.
Yeah. But they've done well with their first couple campaigns that have been on there, as well as I think those campaigns would have done on Kickstarter. Do you have thoughts on that? What does that look like next year?
That's one of my predictions for the future.
I do have to say, I sat and watched the last hour on Kickstarter, watching the numbers just scroll and scroll and scroll higher and higher and higher. And that was very riveting watching all the comments on social media
The
page come in, because everybody was cheering them on. It was really great.
Way to go.
Another prediction that came up was Marvel United was just about to hit Kickstarter. You have it up here behind you somewhere.
I was looking for it. I think it's somewhere, yeah.
Marvel United, my guess was that it would reach between $2 to $3 million campaign, and it was $2.8
million. Yeah, all right.
So,
nailed it.
Boom, nailed that one. Everyone said that a new board game mechanic should be invented. And I don't think that really happened.
At least not to the level of like, no, Dominion, everybody knows it, gives it credit for something. I think we did see several little tweaks and things, but hard to say invented. Although maybe we'll get like 2 years out and we'll be like, oh yeah, that's when the worker placement rondel of whatever of the North Seas was invented.
Pendulum?
With the time mechanic.
Does that count?
I'm trying to give you
guys
points.
I mean, it's new.
I think would it need, I don't know. For it to be a like new mechanism, would we need to see multiple games use it, or just one game does something different?
keep that on the list for next year. We'll come back.
Come back to that. I mean, like, timers have been used. It was a unique way of using the timers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's cool. Another prediction from last year was that roll and writes would taper off.
I think they did.
I agree.
I think we saw some very unique implementations of the roll and write mechanic, like Sonora, where mm-hmm. they did flicking with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw some very heavy roll and writes come out. And I don't think there was as many.
No, I would say 2019 was the roll and write year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were so many that came out in 2018 and 2019.
And to prove the point that they didn't, I remember seeing several prototypes for roll and writes last year as well, or mm-hmm. 2019, that I assumed would be hitting the market. Many of them didn't.
Mm.
So either they're still in development, which seems a little bit unlikely, or they just didn't make it because they were tapering off.
Sarah had a prediction that there would be a roll and write combined with card crafting mechanic. And that sounded cool to all of us. Do you remember this?
I do remember this. And I don't know that it happened.
No, it did not happen. But I think AEG could do it because they already have Mystic Veil with the card crafting system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening, our new sponsor.
You listened to this. Now that you're a sponsor.
Now that you're a sponsor. Listen to this.
So much leverage with you.
It actually is a cool idea. Have you played Mystic Veil, Jonah?
I have not.
Mystic Veil is where you actually have like a card sleeve. Throughout the game, you're putting transparent cards inside. So your card is actually like being upgraded throughout the game.
Yep.
I think we could do something with a roll and write going on.
Yeah, it's basically a deck builder, but you never get more cards. You just change the cards that are already
in your
hands.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. I think Sarah's idea is still viable for the future. Someone come
if
up with
AEG
it.
AEG decides to do it, they got to put a big Tantrum House logo.
There we go.
Right. The box.
I had the idea.
Mm-hmm. Last
year. You heard
year.
It here first.
Last year, Tantrum Con 2020 is going to be awesome.
It was fantastic.
It was. That was a good prediction.
One of the last cons of the year.
Right. I'm still hanging on the best con of 2020.
Best con of 2020. Not that many happened.
Doesn't matter what the other defining characteristics are. That
and one of
the
things that was up, and I do remember, the meal events were so much fun.
Yeah, oh.
We had like double the amount of meal events. Mm-hmm. And
double the attendance on some of them.
Yeah, I think that was a huge selling point for TantrumCon. And hopefully TantrumCon 2022 will have those back.
Oh, they'll be back.
They'll be back. The meal events were really fun. But anyway, TantrumCon Digital, we can eat and have people.
We should let them watch us eat.
Watch us eat.
Come back at 9 o'clock while we eat pizza.
All right. Ryan. Ryan's prediction for 2021 is that the Star Wars RPG.
Well, that was for 2020.
Sorry, for 2020 would be revamped since FFG let the team go. And there would be a sixth rendition. Ryan.
Yeah. So Asmodee owns FFG. And a bunch of other companies, and they've moved the license for the Star Wars RPG and all of their other RPGs to one of their different studios, which is just an RPG dedicated studio. It's called Edge Studio, and that's like all we know. So I don't know if it's
that happened in this year or was that previous. Oh, so progress could be being made.
Progress, but
didn't
happen.
It didn't die.
It's not dead.
I don't know if they're continuing the same line because it's new people.
They're probably making a Mandalorian RPG.
They might be.
Predictions for 2022.
2021.
Whatever year this is.
I think they might be staying with the same system, but I don't know. They might be revamping.
The other prediction was there would be a Mandalorian board game.
Failures.
That, I think, could still be in the works, but did not happen in 2020. But I think 2021 there could be.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
I mean, an RPG does make sense with that.
It does.
Much more sense.
Especially as they're building out this world all over a million planets.
But a board game would be cool. I know what it would be, but... A pick-up and deliver
game. It would be a card-crafting roll-and-write game.
There's a Mandalorian Monopoly.
We were right!
Now I'm just imagining, like, Galaxy Truckers, like, with the Razor Crest as the ship, like, keeps falling apart as you go on your journey.
All right, going along with the Star Wars theme, Sarah said,
I don't remember this. This is good.
Sarah said, there will be a spike in kids named whatever Baby Yoda's name turns out to be. Whatever. She said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, she said. Whatever the name is will be a spike in that kid's name. So, Sarah, do you still hold to that prediction?
I'm Googling it right now. Kids
named Grogu.
Maybe dogs and fish.
I think so.
No, she specifically said, even if it's a weird name, it will be Spike and Kid's name. It's hilarious. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. Anyway, all right. Next, you have a comment on that? Yeah. She's like silent.
I'm laughing too hard.
All right. What legacy game came out? Because we said there'd be more legacy games in 2020. And the only two that I know of was that there was Pandemic Legacy Season Zero and My City, which Jonah, you just started playing My City.
I did. Chantel and I are actively playing My City. So we must have opened the box. I don't know. Maybe New Year's Eve.
Okay.
No, not New Year's Eve, but maybe New Year's Day. Okay. New Year's Day. And may or may not be hooked. We played a long time on New Year's Day.
I think we did the whole campaign in like 3 days.
Yeah, we basically played New Year's Day and then the Sunday after all day. And we've only got like 3 or 4 episodes left. We haven't finished it yet. Because
the chapter goes pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. Because
there's 3 games in a chapter.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so we must be on chapter 7.
Can I give you a hint to beat Chantel? Yeah.
Well, I was doing... So, listen. You know I'm not good at Tetris-y style games. I'm not. And I was doing so well through like the first 3 chapters. I was like, this might turn it all around for me. Like
this is
what
I needed.
And I made a mistake. So we're playing late at night the last time we played. And we're on the episode where you have to get one color from like the port all the way down to the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got all my pieces set
up for
doing it the way I need to do it to have like all these points. And for whatever reason, I was like talking to somebody or my mom was over. I was talking and the card came out to play like that T-shaped factory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I needed to skip it. I knew I needed to skip it. And I played it right where I needed to put all my stuff. And she got like 4 railroad pieces after that episode. And I got none.
Oh.
And I was so – and she – like circled off so many points, like, and I was so upset. And it was like the second episode out of the 3 to finish the chapter. And she was like, "Let's play the last one." And I was literally like, "I'm going to sleep." I was so bad that I messed that up. So I'm down right now, but I'm coming.
How's
back.
Your gold on the left side?
Gold on the left. I'm thinking I'm like 1 behind her at the moment.
Because that.
I didn't do gold and he did tons.
I did tons of gold.
I got steamrolled.
Steamrolled. All right. Moving on, the last prediction from 2020 was there would be more partnerships between companies. And I think there was a couple like Spin Master and Seamon with Marvel United and Restoration of Mondo with Unmatched, but I don't know of that many partnerships. But I think that's still something that could be explored for the future.
Yeah. Didn't the op team up with somebody to do like some licensed stuff? I can't remember. Yeah. Not tons, but a little more. Interesting. So are we now to making predictions?
Yes. Here we go. Moving on from.
2021 predictions.
2021 predictions. Are we ready for the hot take already? Or are we going to wait on?
Wait for the hot take.
I'm waiting for the hot take.
So should we start with the obvious easy ones? Yeah, I got an easy one.
All right, Will. What's your easy one?
So
it can't be Asmodee gobbles up company.
The first one is Asmodee. No, I mean, I think judging by the current atmosphere of the world, the 1-player and 2-player games are going to be hot in 2021. I think a lot of companies probably saw the need for it this past year, took opportunity to develop and further produce, and I would assume we'll be seeing some games published that specifically target that 1 solo player, 1 to 2 player mode. That just makes sense. I don't know why people wouldn't take opportunity to jump into that arena.
Okay.
One of my predictions is we will see a need for publishers to get prototypes of their games out in a digital format ahead of campaigns and even releases.
I hate that.
I do too. I do not like playing games digitally.
Yeah,
there are apps that I am okay with.
Yeah, apps are fine.
And I know a lot of people were very excited for the Wingspan app to come out
on
Switch.
But they're made for users.
They are. There's a difference from making an app and just putting something in a digital platform.
Speaking of Wingspan on Switch, you should go over to our Twitch channel and watch us.
Oh, can we watch you play it?
I think you can.
Sweet.
It's pretty fun.
Okay, so I'd like to watch
it. Like 100 times.
Cool.
She's practicing. It's not good.
I know. Oh. Jonah is losing our faith of ever winning that game again.
My prediction for 2021, because of just the what 2020 was for board game companies, even though they did well, some of them did well, or a lot of them did well, I think more established companies will begin using Kickstarter that we've never seen before. So we've seen it in the past, like Renegade started doing it, and we have AEG started doing it. But I think we're going to see more established companies coming to Kickstarter to help raise money for some games.
Because they don't have the retail sales and things that, and the convention sales that they were getting from last year.
Yep.
Interesting. I could see that.
You ready for this hot take?
Let's do it.
Ooh. My hot take. It's flaming hot.
Flaming hot.
Write this down.
2021 from Jonah Dew.
Game Found will have a game that raises more money than Frosthaven raised this year.
What?
All right.
It'll happen. Write it down.
I'm,
you heard it here first.
Don't worry. I will be writing these down.
All right. Here it comes.
Here's my take about Game Found.
Okay.
Because I actually have one written down. That Awakened Realms will not use Kickstarter anymore. So they used Kickstarter, I think, once or twice in 2020, and they then have their third game was ISS Vanguard, which did well. I think it's got its like final days as we're recording this, but it raised over $3 million, but not as well as they did on Kickstarter. Not as well, but they
breaking the ice.
But they saved a lot of money by not going to Kickstarter, and they have a little bit more control because it's their company that runs GameFound.
Right, and I think it's going to take a little bit of time because the audience on Kickstarter is so huge and looking for it, and they already have the account set up that I'm guessing the lower number of quick dollar backings are probably going to be higher on Kickstarter still for a little while until everybody gets their GameFound account set up is ready to start backing games there.
One thing I do want to say, they ran this over Christmas.
That's true. That's true. I
Nobody
do agree with you, Sarah.
Nobody runs campaigns
over
Christmas.
No one. And they did well.
Yeah.
$3 million is...
They had 22,000 backers, and there's still a couple days left.
So that's a good... That's the number I was looking at. I knew it was over 20, so it's about 22,000 right now.
Yep.
So when they went to Kickstarter, they had over 40,000. So there's another 20,000 backers...
People missing.
People that could come to GameFound. I think that's a huge number. They need to somehow... They need to somehow get more people to come look at GameFound. I'm not sure what that sort of marketing ploy will be.
I mean, I think it is just do a couple more Kickstarters.
Them or get other publishers to come and do Kickstarters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they need to make that happen.
Well, not Kickstarters.
Sorry.
Now GameFounders.
What are we called though?
Crowd campaigns.
Crowdfunding campaigns.
That sounds way less awesome. My question is, and this isn't a prediction, but what does Kickstarter do? Because they have to see $3 million disappear.
They're going to lower the fees. They're going to lower how much money they take.
I don't know. I don't think people are super offended by the fees.
If they're going to lose the people.
They will. And exactly. So what does Kickstarter do?
And then my prediction will come true. It'll be fine.
Okay.
So you're saying a crowdfunding on GameFound, or are you saying GameFound?
I'm saying GameFound.
GameFound's going to raise more than 12 million, more than 13 million.
They're going to have a game that raises more than Frosthaven raised.
Yep. Okay, more than 12.9 million.
It's a whole process like we're talking about here.
Right.
Here's
Kickstarter's
my...
not going to lower the fee. Mm-hmm. So that means people are going to jump ship. As soon as people jump ship, they have a couple successful games over there, big ones, and then it's done.
Okay, here's my dissenting opinion. I think Kickstarter, any game on Kickstarter, there will be no board game that will raise more than 7 million. So I think it will not even reach close to Frosthaven. I think 7 million is going to be the cap. I think GameFound will have good numbers, but I don't think it's going to reach more 7 million. I think Kickstarter will still have the number one.
So you don't think so I want in on that. I think GameFound will at least have a higher backing game than Kickstarter.
No, I go the opposite. I think Kickstarter will still have a higher number.
We'll see in 2022.
Jonah versus Kevin.
Yeah,
predictions. I like it. I'm glad that was super hot. I think I'm really interested to see. I know we made the prediction last year that some new mechanic will be invented. I do think that this was the perfect year for people to design amazing board games. Like
I know they had all the
more
time,
to refine it, to practice it, to play it, to do all the things.
The problem is
playtesting
might have been hard for some people.
That's a good point. Maybe I'll retract before I get too far. I do think there's potential for some really incredible board games to come out this year because there was that extra incubation period that people were able to work on stuff. So I don't know if it'll be a new mechanic, but I think we will see some just mind-blowing designs.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I think some of the games that have story-driven can have the potential to be very good this year because writers had time to sit down and actually do well in their stories.
Cool. Ryan, do you have a prediction for board gaming?
Not really. I was going to say something less well thought out than Sarah's about digital. So kudos. Ditto to what she said. I think once we're all done quarantining, that we might have a new influx of game design once the alien invasion is over. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, slorps and zarches and
so, Ryan,
things we can add into games.
Ryan, tell us, what's your prediction on game conventions this year?
I think Tantrum Con Digital is going to be the best.
Yes!
Okay, let's talk about in-person. Will there be in-person events? When will they start? What do you think, Ryan?
I really don't know.
Well, you just got to predict. This is what the show's about.
Too early to predict. That's the goal.
Will there be a Gen Con in person?
There to be, but I don't think so. I'm too much of a pessimist.
I don't think there'll be anything before Gen Con, and I'm really skeptical that Gen Con will actually happen. Gen Con's usually in August, right?
I think Gen Con will happen in person. That's my prediction.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Because then Will and Sarah can go to the spiel.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I do agree that I think it's going to take one company willing to stick their neck out there, prove that we're all crazy enough to come out to the event with our masks on and our shots and everything.
Your stickers that show that you got the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, and then I think as long as one person pulls it off, one big person pulls it off successfully, then everything goes back to normal. Man, I sure hope so. I don't know which company I think is more likely to take that risk, but...
Not Origins.
Right, probably not.
Yeah, not after last year.
Right, and so I don't know if we make it all the way to like the UK games or if... You know,
UK's
if,
in July.
Early.
Or if Germany says, we're doing Spiel because this is our national tradition. Like, I don't know when it happens, but I think as soon as one of them does happen...
Yeah,
I think it's
so the big ones usually are Origins, then you have UK in July, then you have Gen Con in August, then you have October for Spiel. Those are the sort of the big ones that are happening. So yeah,
PAX is getting PAX crazy big.
Then you have PAX Unplugged in December. So
yeah, so it'll be interesting. Hopefully everybody can get their plans together, pull it off. One other teeny tiny prediction I have is I think we saw a lot of puzzles come out at the end of this past year. That was like a new thing to me, it seemed like, from board game publishers putting out. They've already paid for the assets. They might as well turn it into a puzzle.
The artwork, yeah.
Yeah, we made more puzzles than we've ever made this year. Not necessarily board game themed ones, but just puzzles. And that seems like a really low-hanging fruit opportunity for publishers. So I think we're going to see more of that. And it'll be interesting to see. I know that Genius Games put out a puzzle last year. I think they're still working on it. And it's like they're the science-based
company.
Human
body anatomy.
Yeah, but it's literally like six puzzles, I think. And you can make a full-size human being from the puzzles, like all the organs and stuff. I think we'll see some of those more gamey puzzles in the coming year. Whether that's like escape room puzzles.
I did see escape room puzzles over Christmas.
Interesting.
I just made that up. No, somebody already did it.
I think I have seen that.
Well, there's already like mystery puzzles where they give you a little booklet
we
you
did
read
one.
Through.
Yeah.
And there's...
You don't really have the picture. Have you done
interesting.
That?
No, I haven't.
It's hard.
It sounds like it. But I think more of those kind of things will probably exist as well in 2021.
Cool. Well, why don't we move to our last segment of the podcast talking about Tantrum Con Digital 2021.
I think we need like a sound effect for it if it's going to be a... Oh, look at that. We got one.
That's one of my favorites.
I like that. I like that new sound effect.
The new segment talking about Tantrum Con Digital. We did have a great planning meeting this afternoon and we were able to nail down a couple things, which is awesome. The schedule is coming together and that'll hopefully... I think by the time you listen to this, it should be live. If you go to tantrumcon.com. There'll be a link on there that you can get to the schedule. You can look at all the games that we've got lined up, all the opportunities that you'll have to play along with us. We're still trying to finalize the details on the hall, which we mentioned earlier in the episode.
H-A-U-L.
So that we can, we've got a couple games coming in. We just don't know what the final number is going to be. So we don't know how to price that to get it out to people. But the idea is we'd love to be able to sell an armload of games that you can get this one bundle and then play it along with us live on the show. That should be a lot of cool opportunities for people to play together. We've also been finalizing the details for our Tantrum Con table flipping tournament. Tell us about that, Jonah.
Right now, you can enter. We are giving away $500 worth of prizes and games.
And cash.
Oh, and cash.
Cash is involved.
Whoa. The mixture.
Can I enter?
You cannot
pick myself? No?
No.
Okay. No problem. We're giving away $500 worth of cash and prizes. And what you've got to do is submit to us a table flipping video. We want to see you put a game on a table and flip the table. What game do you want to just, every time you play it, you're like, if I lose one more time to my wife in Wingspan, I am flipping this table. And that's what we want to see. We want you to send it over to us. So first, you can put it on social media and tag us at Tantrum House. Just make sure we see it. Or you can just send it to us via email, and you can send it to Will, W-I-L-L. At tantrumhouse.com. But we want to put you in Tantrum Con. We're going to make a pretty cool, slick compilation, and we want to show you off. And also, we want to enter you in to win a bunch of stuff, a bunch of games. I think we're giving away, well, I only know of one game that we've officially said that's going to be in this, and the game is like $250 or right. something. It was a lot.
It's the Infinity Box.
Whoa.
For Anachrony.
Whoa, we talked about that earlier.
I know.
We're giving it away.
We're giving that away.
So that means we can't play it.
It's massive.
We have another one.
Oh, we have two?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. I'll let you know how it is. But if you want a copy or want that and
have
other
you played
stuff,
Anachrony?
No, I have not.
It's a heavy game. I mean, I think you might enjoy it. It's like...
The box is a heavy.
This is just the expansion.
Just the... Oh, this is crazy.
It's huge.
Anyway.
It's huge.
$500.
It uses time as a resource. So...
Real time?
Like
no.
time crystals.
Oh, okay.
So you are basically going into
real
the future in
resource?
The game. What? In the game.
Whoa, I just did something there. 2021 prediction.
You're going into in the game, you're going into the future, borrowing resources from the future. When you actually get to that point in time in the game, you actually have to make sure that you have those resources or you have
to pay back.
To pay back, or you create a time paradox.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's an interesting little thing going on.
That's interesting. Yeah. I like it.
I do have to say the box is the exact volume of one of the Calyx cubes.
Like the whole thing?
13 by 13 by more than 15. I think it hangs out the back.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They tried to get it to fit. There was too much goodness in there. So, we'll be giving away a copy of that. It'll be a package prize for first, second, and third. So you have multiple opportunities to win. All you have to do is send me a video of you playing it. You can learn more at tantrumcon.com. Just scroll down to the table flipping section, and we're going to be showing that off during the 3 days of the Tantrum Con event. There's going to be so much fun footage. We're going to be doing a little bit of pre-recorded stuff where we're going to go kind of all out with decorations and effects and costumes.
Yeah.
There's going to be tons of live gaming. We're also going to have a Zoom community where you can kind of hang out in the background of our live show, play some games while you're watching us play games, be a part of the games. We'll have extra prizes that we're giving away.
I heard prizes almost every hour.
Yeah. Prizes.
There's a lot of prizes.
Extra prizes just for hanging out with us. Going to be some cool live interviews. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're really looking forward to hanging out with lots and lots of people and having a great time come February 5th through 7th. That's all going to be happening. The majority of it's all going to be happening on YouTube. Get all the details on our website now. Join the Zoom community. Send us a video of you flipping the table. Don't overthink it. I've gotten a couple submissions already that are pretty simple. Somebody just like flipped the game mat that was on the table. You don't have to break your china and table to be a part of this.
But if you want
to
win.
That's a good point. Send us your best video.
Before we say goodbye, I do want to look ahead to next episode's topic.
Ooh.
Next episode's topic is our most anticipated board games of 2021.
I've got a nice list already started.
So start
with
making your list, checking it twice, because we're going to talk about those next episode.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us for this one. Hang around after the ending if you want to hear about Cobra Kai. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
Bye! Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
That was, that's something.
Gotta get more sound effects ready
to
go.
We need to get some good, we need to get some good music for the Cobra Kai season 3 after party talking. Now we're just going to talk about episode 1.
It's going to be hard.
Of season 3. and then, and how many episodes are there
for this season? Ooh, I got a hot take.
I didn't actually check to see how many there are. I tried not to watch too many ahead so that I could remember which one we're on. I don't know how many
episodes. I have a hot take for season 3, episode 1.
Okay.
What? The no throwback clips.
Oh, I know.
No throwback clips.
That's something I do look forward
to. Yeah, that for me is like, I'm watching the show halfway for these throwback clips.
Well, they had to invent brand new throwback clips because we didn't know enough about John Kreese. Wait, am I already into episode 2? I think I might have already ruined it.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Goodness.
There's none? No throwbacks?
No.
Just
no.
In the previous seasons of this show. There was like...
Yeah, because it's like previously watched on season 2.
But they had a lot to get through in this first episode. They had to talk about what happened. And of course...
But there's always time for Miyagi to share words of wisdom.
Right. The funniest part, one of the funniest parts in this episode was Johnny trying to get in to see Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the hospital. I'm like, oh, he's going to put on the doctor. Like, this is like the trope. You put on the doctor's uniform when you get in. He's there in the bathroom with the doctor's uniform
faking
on. And the guy's like, oh, you're not a doctor. It's like,
this isn't going to work.
That was hilarious. And he's like, and you can just see the wheels turning. Right. Like, how is he going to go see, you know, his mentee?
Right. I think he had the plan all along, and he was, like, hoping, I'm going to try it as a doctor first.
Doctor, and then it's, like, doctors and patients, and you're like, oh, he just, I mean, that
and
was
he pretty, was for serious, yeah.
It was like, realistic.
I expected, like, a bruise, and instead it's, like, bleed profusely.
Yeah, that is gushing.
So I thoroughly enjoyed the original Karate Kid movies growing up as a kid. We started watching this last season when it was on. Jonah actually got me, I think, the most excited about it.
It's the throwbacks for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after
I said, and I stand by it, hey, the show's kind of goofy, but the throwback scenes make you watch it.
And I was definitely hooked. We watched all of last season. The new ones just came out. And so we're going to try to walk through them episodically on the podcast. We watched, all of us have seen episode 1. Did you get to watch it, Ryan?
I've never even seen
You've never seen the old movie?
So I have no idea what
you've never seen the old
about.
Movies?
No, I've never seen
it. Oh, you need to make a night of it.
Doing?
This will be interesting
it's
to
fine.
See.
I've never seen Star Wars.
Star Wars,
you guys
right?
talked about that for weeks.
Yeah.
Karate Kid, you got to watch at least the first one.
Right.
The first one.
And the second
good.
And third. And then after that, you can stop.
I have the general idea that, like, he gets beat up on, and then he masters karate, and... there's like an illegal move that you're not allowed to hit someone in the head, and then
you got it.
But you're missing.
But you
so
don't.
Many
that's
things.
Not. Yeah,
you're missing when he like falls in love movie. With the girl.
Right,
on the
he
beach,
fights for her honor,
and then the motorcycle chase. Daniel LaRusso, the Halloween party. You're missing so many things.
Wax on,
the
wax
tree.
Off.
Right. Got it.
I've seen the wax on, wax off.
Clip. I still have yet to get a bonsai tree. This is one of my life goals that has not been achieved.
Oh, but he got a gift card this Christmas to go buy a bonsai tree.
Did you really?
I did.
We also found out that they have weeping willow bonsai trees.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Which sound really cool. It's probably going to die.
You put that in your set? I mean, that weeping willow bonsai would fit perfectly in one of the shelves.
Apparently, they're, first off, more expensive than you would think. And secondarily, apparently harder also to keep alive, which maybe they did hint at in the movie.
So I bought one time.
Did you kill it?
Yeah, because I was like, perfect. I've always wanted this.
Right?
I'm the new Karate Kid now. It was a whole thing, especially after Jaden Smith did his movie. Right. I was like, it was perfect for me. Super hard to keep alive.
Yeah.
If they said it was going to be easy, oh, you water what's a year or something. It was like not a lot. I killed mine. I didn't try, but I was like, this is dying.
We couldn't keep bamboo alive. And that's...
I'm gonna
threw out the pot because it died.
I did cut the leaves though.
Yeah.
Like,
did you feel like it?
Yes. I did it one time and I was like, this is legit. And then it was dying. Yeah. And I couldn't keep it alive.
Fingernail clippers to, you know.
No, I got little scissors.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to be, I told you I was Jaden Smith.
I don't know everybody's names, even though I like the show a lot. I'm sad. I think her name is
Aisha.
Aisha.
Yeah.
Sad that she's gone. She was a cool character.
I think she's might be just be gone for this season and might be coming back.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
So, I mean, they have a lot of character development that are going on.
With her or with everybody?
With everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to follow certain storylines.
They do, but I felt like hers was an interesting one. It was this neat mix of, like, I'm friends with both sides more than anybody. Mm-hmm. I am learning, you know, I need my own martial arts growth as well. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of an interesting character in general. Like, I was sad that she was gone.
Okay.
Let's talk about how quickly they turned around that third season. Because this show was on Amazon Prime,
YouTube,
I guess.
I think.
Oh, YouTube. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right. It was a YouTube original. And I saw it way back when, but I didn't have YouTube, whatever you need to watch it. So I never watched it. And then it came to Netflix and like blew up.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it blew up, they were like, season 3, be out in 3 months. And I was like, hold on.
They were already working on it.
They had to have been already working on it.
Yeah.
But
I'm proud of them.
And they're already talking about seasons 4, 5, and 6 or something.
And they even dropped the season early. There was a whole story about it.
Yeah.
It's coming out earlier
cool
than we
commercial.
Thought.
Yeah. But did Johnny like make it happen or something?
Yeah. He's like, did you see the commercial?
No, I did not see the commercial.
He's sitting at his computer, like pecking at it, you know, trying to figure out how to use the laptop. And he's like, I don't know if they spliced them together or what, but he's like pecking on it. And then it's like season 3, Cobra Kai releases 20, you know, whatever, January 30th. And he's like, oh, that's way too long. And then he like backspaces it and changes the date.
To January 3rd.
Yeah, he's like, enter, send it to the internet, you know, whatever. It was good. It was a good commercial.
Cool. Cool.
One of the things that I saw somebody's hot take on this and I was hoping they were right. They pointed out that in season 1 of Cobra Kai, Hawk shows up. He's got a sweet blue
right,
mohawk.
The blue hawk mohawk.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he's a good guy. He's like, you know, good guy making his place in the world. Season 2 comes in.
Got the red one.
Red mohawk, evil.
Mm-hmm.
People were hypothesizing that in season 3 he would have a green mohawk because it would be like still Cobra Kai-ish.
Purple with red and blue together.
Oh, it could have been. The idea was green like blue, like lightsaber almost. Like blue lightsaber, red lightsaber. Wow, green, we don't know. Is he a good guy? Is he
Luke's
a bad guy?
Oh, no. They went even further into darkness because he dyed the rest of his hair black. So now it's black and red instead of brown.
So apparently he's locked in. He's a bad guy. I'm kind of sad.
He had to be locked in. He got kicked into a trophy case.
But maybe he can still learn.
If I get kicked into a trophy case, I'm locked in.
You're a bad guy from then on.
What was the hugs, the thing they were supposed to do from the teachers? Hugs?
Oh.
Hugs, not thugs, or something like that?
It was something like
that. It was
that,
funny. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was funny.
That was the wildest.
So you're just going to hug our children? They're going to hug themselves.
We can't get between them. It was a terrible. I hope there's no. Are there schools like that in real life? There probably are.
Probably are.
I don't want to go to that teacher parent meeting. That was scary.
Oh, man. They were like,
Shut up, Russo! That was rough. I definitely enjoyed just jumping back into the episode. It made me nervous when they were like, he's been in a coma for 2 weeks. He ain't coming back. I was like, what? Are they going to really leave him in there the whole show? There's no way he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then, good ending.
He wakes up.
Right? It's a good moment to end the episode.
Looking forward to, I guess, the recovery trail will be starting in episode 2.
You could say that.
That's my guess.
And then I also really, I thought it was a great ending. I didn't realize when we watched, I don't know what episode it was last season, but when they had all the Cobra Kai gang on there, I didn't realize that the one guy actually was dying in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he did pass away this past season.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were filming this one, this episode 1 ends with an in memory to him ending, which was great. I thought that was a solid, you know, heart wrenching moment, but it was cool that Cobra Kai never dies. That was a great ending.
So one thing I noticed is Robbie has a new haircut.
Head. Spoiler.
No, it's in one. It's right at the end. He does have a new haircut and he looks gross.
Yeah.
Well, he's been like without a shower probably for
living
like
out of the van,
Living out of the van. Mm-hmm.
But his hair got shorter.
But he chopped it off real weird.
Well, you know, when you have your scissors, you just gotta do it.
He's trying to blend in to be lost.
I mean, he just like put a hoodie over his head and then
But no, I did notice the haircut because I was like, is that him? Who are we looking at here? And then it was him and I was like, oh, your hair is different.
So some storylines that we're going to probably be following is recovery for Miguel, finding Robbie, And then what else? Don't tell us, Will.
Okay, I won't tell you.
What do you think, Jonah? Those are probably two.
It's going to be the still Johnny and Daniel working together, but okay. then not working together okay. and fighting that then they got to work together okay. to save the kids. And then, you know.
Is Johnny's girlfriend going to forgive him?
Not for 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay.
3 or 4 episodes. I just had a realization. I wonder if his haircut goes well with a bandana.
I bet the hairstylist
lady was like, we got to make the bandana look better. Let's get the hair different.
Or maybe just a prison outfit.
2021 predictions.
One thing we didn't see in season 2 was tournaments. The karate tournaments that we saw in season 1.
Was the flashbacks that he was having the whole time from season 1? Or was that like a new one we never made?
Just flashing back.
Yeah.
Like all the other tournaments he was in that we never saw.
He had to win the fight in his mind.
Yeah.
Coma.
Got it.
Just some nebulous guy he's trying to fight.
Never seen before.
Right. So.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
I'm looking forward to episode 2, even though Will's already seen it.
Yeah. Sarah keeps dropping hits accidentally and doesn't realize it, but.
We're going to get an All-Valley tournament.
At the end of this one?
In this season, for sure.
He's got to get.
All-Valley. Yeah.
I was going to make a line, but I think that might be from the second episode, too.
Are we going to see Allie? Is Allie coming back in season 3? Whoa. That would do it for me, because we're going to get some more throwback scenes, and that's going to be what I want to see.
She's like the tough, bad chick, right?
Allie's from
the original.
Yes.
Yeah.
They mentioned her in season 1.
They did, right. I did think she's got to pop up.
Oh, she's on Facebook now.
100%.
Right, well, then he threw his phone away.
Yeah.
Johnny threw his phone and
she texted back.
Yeah.
In season 1. Oh, right.
Message
yeah.
back.
She's coming. She's going to be in 3. For sure.
This guy, perfect.
I don't know what the girl's name is who's like the bad girl. You know what her name is?
I forget. But
I didn't realize, I don't watch Disney, but my kids were like, oh, she's in Bunked. She's apparently like in a bunch of Disney shows as like a cutesy teenager. And so the internet is like, she's so badass. I can't believe it. Who knew? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Way to go. Yeah, expand your character repertoire.
Cool.
Disney princess is now Karate Kid.
Was Allie played by Elizabeth Shue?
I don't know the actress's name.
I don't know the actress's name. I just know her as Allie.
I mean, we can look it up on IMDb.
Okay. I'll
we'll look it up another time. Another time.
Ready for some next predictions next week.
Next week.
Well, cool. I'll be looking forward to rewatching episode 2 so I can remember which one it is. I'm going to admit I'm probably going to watch episode 3 tonight. And then I'll try to remember and come back next week. I don't know if I can do it. Actually, it won't be next week. If you guys are tuning in, thanks so much for being here tonight. You get a break next week. You don't have to listen to our grating voices because we are switching our podcast to a bi-monthly podcast moving forward for the year, give us some opportunities to do some other things in the places where we normally record. But we are definitely looking forward to being here, talking about Kickstarters, having some fun, and just hanging out with you guys. So thanks so much for listening in.
See you in 2 weeks.
We'll see you then.